Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let me take you to the queen side.
I'm taking it to 2-2 side.
Whoa! 2-2 day. What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the district.
I'm a man of my word, JP.
I know you are, sir. It's 10 a.m., and the Washington Commanders are going to the playoffs. The Washington Commanders have won 11 games for the first time since 1991. Back then, Brian was playing and had a mustache. Perhaps most important, most impressive, most fun in all of this is Dan Snyder owned this damn team for about 30 years, 25 years. Yes. Never in his ownership were they able to win 11 games. Josh Harris, the first year he really has his arms around this organization, he hires Adam Peters, they hire Dan Quinn, they draft Jaden Daniels, and bang, 11
in that
wins.
Bang.
They could get to 12, but whatever, we don't even need to count those chickens. They're at 11 now, they're in the playoffs. If it ended today, and it doesn't, they'd be the sixth seed in the playoffs, heading to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. A lot of football left, a lot of decisions to be made before we know exactly who's playing who, where. Maybe later in the week we get into best possible matchups, all that sorts of stuff. But right now, Brian, I remember being a little boy and going to Redskins games, and my dad always shouting, they're a second-half team, they're a second-half team.
Uh-huh.
And Richie Pettibone particularly was known for his second-half adjustments.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson in this ballgame yesterday had 82 rushing yards at halftime.
Yeah.
He had 82 rushing yards and two touchdowns. He finished the game with 90.
Yeah.
He had four carries for 8 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
You can be glass half full, glass half empty, however you prefer this. They haven't been good in first halves of the last two games, but damn, they've been good in second halves.
They have been good.
And they've won. Well, they've won the games when it matters.
I didn't know Daniel, our engineer, was a Falcons fan, but he was talking all this stuff.
Oh, he's a Georgia guy.
But you know why they ran the ball four times in the second half? Because Washington came out in the second half as an offense and went down the field and scored touchdowns. And when they score a touchdown, I've said it many a times, I don't care who your offensive coordinator is. When the other team has a sustained drive and score a TD, you don't just come back and just stick to your game plan. You feel you got to put points on the board. And they made them begin to do different things. The play, when the snap over the head, if Bijan just focuses on the ball instead of trying to run real quick, it was open over there now.
Yeah.
I'm glad it snapped a little high. He walks in the end zone, but he was trying to run before he got the ball. And sometimes trick plays in those moments, you know, they mess you up.
I thought Tirico's call of that was so brilliant. He's like, and they line up in the Wildcat and screw it up.
I love it.
I mean, dude, there's so much to take away from that game. And we'll get to all of it. And that's one of the beauties of having 4 hours and phone lines. Like, we'll get to everything that happened last night. And there was that crowd was truly fantastic.
Oh, bro.
And
they were good. Listen, they've been good all year. And I gave last night, me and Tanner made a point to talk about what the fans have done on the road, at home.
Totally.
7-2 at home.
7-2 at home.
Think about that. When was the last time we saw seven games at home? You know, and then the ultimate thing was they got loud when they needed to be loud.
Dude, my wife was texting me. My wife was watching, and she kept texting me. She's like, I'm so mad I stayed up this late if they lose. And then at the end, she's like, I'm so glad I stayed up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
listen, they have taken us through some roller coasters.
Yo, when they finally got that sack late in the game, you remember they kind of got to Penix, but couldn't get him down. A couple bad calls.
Yeah.
I hate roughing the quarterback in the NFL. I understand by the letter of the law that the call on Fowler was correct. The law is incorrect. There has to be context and wiggle room that when a quarterback ducks down and a D-end is coming in with his hands up, he's clearly not looking to make harmful contact. Yeah. And then the quarterback ducks down and there is helmet-to-helmet contact. Like, that can't be on the D-end.
Let's be real.
There's got to be context to that.
They try to simplify this thing about, we're protecting the players.
No.
But you're trying to get an 18 game. You already complained about players' bodies being beat up when they were in 16 games and things of that nature.
You're now right over seven, there?
I got everything falling. Water all over the place.
Listen, I'm going to be honest to everybody out there. Brian and I have not slept much. It was a very late game.
Yeah, man. I almost broke my alarm clock this morning. When that thing started, I was like, what the hell is going on? I slapped it.
It was a very early morning and a very late night. But we're here. We're here locked in 4 hours, baby.
I don't know if we're going to be locked in for 4 hours.
I might
be taking some naps during the breaks.
Physically here for 4 hours.
You know, remember when I came on that radio that time?
I did.
And I was sleeping in the breaks? Yeah, I might be doing that today.
No, it was both of us. We were like, that was
Vegas?
What, Arizona, I think.
AZ. Ooh,
Arizona after a week out there.
Yeah, that started off bad. The first show, Lanford was looking for me.
It's funny to think how long the season has gone now. I mean, these NFL seasons are such a grind, but damn, they feel different late
this
in the year.
This one doesn't seem like it went long. This one seemed like it started yesterday.
So,
because it's been good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For me, there is so much to like about this team and this game and the resilience and the guts they continue to show. Last night, if you go back, I haven't watched the Ultra. Like, I'll go back and rewatch, but just live watching, it was pretty easy to see that the Falcons defense was focused on taking away Terry McLaurin. It wasn't a pure double team, but they pretty much ran cover two a lot, and they would shade that top safety to Terry's side.
They were kind of running a look of a cover two, but they were running four.
A lot of times,
they'll have them back, and then all of a sudden, those cornerbacks drop back, and they played a look like a kind of a cloud little thing. But the ultimate is
they were able to generate pressure with kind of their front four, so that allowed them to drop all these DBs.
At the beginning of the game, we were doing a pregame, and Tanner's thing was that other guys have to step up. OZ damn sure stepped up.
Well, B, that's one of
Zach
the things.
Zach Ertz stepped up.
So you lose Noah Brown a couple weeks ago. You don't have Austin Ekeler. That's a significant chunk of offense. Terry's obviously been carrying you from a receiving threat. Atlanta goes all in to shut Terry down, and they continue to find ways.
Yeah.
OZ last night, 8 for 85. B, you'll like this. So Tischler and I joked last night that this weekend is fantasy championships. Oh, Daniel's in here. Daniel, how'd your Falcons do? You doing the dirty bird dance today, pal?
He talking about some phantom call. I don't know what he's talking about.
Phantom call that the Falcons are mad about? Give Daniel his own. Let's get Daniel on the books. 11:45. Daniel can tell us whatever phantom call he claims happened. We were joking that if anybody on the planet started Alameda Zacchaeus in fantasy, they probably won.
Yeah.
And my boy Linehan texted me. He was going against him, and that Zacchaeus put him over the top, and he lost. OZ last night, just the 8 for 85 with a touchdown. Ertz. Yep. And, dude, I don't know if you've heard this, but I think a lot of people have been real dumb about Zach Ertz, that people want to yell about his inability for yards after the catch or whatever it is. Last night, one, for starters, he showed serious.
He got some yak.
Yo, he sure did, dude.
But you know, like, the thing about
he's able to get open.
A veteran tight end has to be available for a quarterback in certain situations. And he was available, and Jaden found him.
Bro, Zach Ertz, honestly, I wonder if we can look this up, Jeff or Brian. Zach Ertz now, with one game to go, has 61 catches for 610 yards and 6 touchdowns. I think that's easily the best season for a Washington tight end since Logan Thomas's first year here, back in whenever LT showed up, which was 20 or 21, I would guess. Those are really solid, strong numbers. Ertz has helped you time and time again. His ability to get open. And what it just shows me more than anything is this team, and the message comes from, I think, the absolute top. Certainly DQ preaches. It's overly simple to just say it's next man up, next man up.
Yeah.
Because what it is.
But they get the next man up prepared.
Totally.
They don't have guys that's not prepared.
Yeah. There's a level of preparation. They coach it that way. And listen, I understand people like to be skeptical, but at this point, I don't know how you can be. There is a belief.
The only skeptical people now are haters.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's just my saying.
I think you're so right, because I think they have been coached and honestly put together in a manner of which they got like-minded people to join in the same mission of winning. But when you put 5 out there with this group,
makes it special.
When you have a quarterback that no matter what, his willingness to do whatever is required to win shines through week after week after week after week, month after month, the ability to put the work in, that carries over to the whole team. And when you have that
guy right there is as dedicated as he is and does the things he does. I used to use Alex Ovechkin as that example.
Sure.
When your best player is your hardest worker, it's not easy to get the rest of your guys to fall in place. Then your most decorated player, Bobby Wagner, that dude right there just works. After the game, you know, everybody coming through there and you looking at how hyped they are. First time I saw a smile was last night, and it was very slight.
For Bobby?
It wasn't the biggest smile, but he dapped me up. Dude got some rough hands, boy. He that's actually why he made tackles. He's strong, dog. But, you know, it's been a pleasure, man, watching this team, because people don't understand, when you play for something, you become indebted to it in a sense, you know?
Sure.
And you want to see them perform well. But if you're doing this job that we do, sometimes you have to discuss bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you dislike or you don't care about the team. That's your job. But the ultimate thing is you want to be able to praise them. And we've had a lot by this year, and I think it's still going to be more praising coming up.
Yeah, I mean, there's we've been saying this for a while now. There's warts involved. Their run game, especially early, has serious trouble. I love the fact that Jaden is capable of leading this team in rush yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's now done it 3 games in a row. I don't love that it's out of necessity that he's the only one that can really get it going on the ground.
Like B-Rob yesterday ended up with 4.8 a carry.
It's funny.
At 60 yards.
The numbers feel better than
than it looked.
Than watching it. But late in that game, B-Rob was able to carve them up a little bit.
Part of the reason was
halftime, the numbers
Biotis got
ugly.
Hurt.
Yeah, but the first half, Biotis was healthy.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's defense surprised Washington.
Big 99 looked like he was a big truck.
Yeah.
And 97, I don't know his name, but that dude was balling.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman had a rough night, especially in pass pro. The penalties, it's easy to just dismiss the penalties, and some of them are really egregious. I thought the pass interference call that allowed Atlanta that late field goal opportunity to maybe win the game, I thought that was among the worst calls in that situation I've seen all year. At best, that's a hold. The catch is the ball is completely uncatchable. There's no way you should ever call that freaking as a pass interference to give them all that yardage. I thought that was just egregiously awful. Listen, I mean, if you just look, B, do you know what the numbers are on the penalty breakdown?
No. I think we had 10.
Atlanta had 4 for 25.
And we had 10 for what?
125? 13 for 108.
See, this is my – and in the, I said this last night, and I really believe this. Dan has been a stand-up guy the whole time. He doesn't call out the refs publicly or nothing. He doesn't call them out. But there are times when he has to send stuff in. And he's been right a lot of times. I have to believe the referees are making certain calls and calling things against us because they're pissed that they're being reprimanded. And I have a problem with the ref not being able to be questioned publicly. But if you're going, if your only way is to send that little thing in and the league send you these your explanations, but your FedEx package, and you think they don't do anything, these referees got to understand, and the league got to understand too. When you see things so one-sided like that, this team is not that team. But that was a little bit overboard last night, and they need to be able to tell the refs, look, if you get worse, then you sit down.
You also, you really see why they traded for Marshawn Lattimore, and I mean at this point, don't play him against Dallas. You're in now. I'm not one of these dudes that's going to sit here and talk about benching guys and blah 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 because I think that's stupid. But specific to Lattimore, like you're in the playoffs and this hamstring thing doesn't go away, you wait till week 19 for Lattimore to come back. Mm-hmm. But damn, they're significantly better. And I know a lot of folks don't love Benjamin St. Juice, but Mike Davis isn't better. And they're just, some of the flags are legit because those dudes are grabby because they're getting beat.
Yep. Some of the holding calls. You reach out and touch when you're being beat.
There's times you want to reach out and touch. There's times when you don't. Perhaps, though, most importantly for all this, for the city, just as we, heal from 25 years of awful burgundy and gold to what the future looks like.
25 years of BS.
I mean, think about where we were and where we are. And think about all the people involved. You've got Josh Harris, all of the partners, right? Yep. Rails, Ein, Magic, Blitzer. I mean, there's just so many people involved in that ownership group that deserve just so much credit. And then the way they built an organization in hiring Adam Peters, letting him take it from there.
The basketball guy helped us out, man.
Right.
Ben Johnson didn't like the basketball guy asking him questions.
Dan Quinn, who a lot of people had a lot of questions about, that dude knows how to build a team. And when you hear the leader of men thing, he's it. He's absolutely it. And he acts with a level of class and decorum at all times that is really hard to find in the intense pressure cooker that is pro football. And then you add Jaden Daniels, who just has this level of unflappability.
He is calm, dude.
He's a phenomenal football player. Last night he goes 24 for 36, 227, 3 touchdowns, has the pick, another 16 for 127 on the ground, and just shows guts. Just does the Sam Cassell dance every time he has to. Unafraid of all situations, willing to put his body on the line, and just pops right back up. When you get that sort of organizational alignment, then you add veterans, then you add young players. It's just you have everything working for you. And yet, Lamphill, I'm not entirely sure everybody understands. For years and years and years, Lamphill, on this program, we have questioned the alumni's commitment to the organization. We have questioned if the former players, if the folks that wore the burgundy and gold
crazy.
And the old helmet and the old logo and got Super Bowl rings and played for Joe Gibbs, we have questioned their commitment to burgundy and gold winning football. And today,
you know, we need it. We need to be invited to do it.
Well, there was a claim made by Brian. Brian Mitchell has a Super Bowl ring, will one day be a Hall of Famer. He's in the Ring of Fame for the organization. Brian told the world, look, if they win 11 games, I will wear a damn tutu. And we have a tutu, and Brian is here. And when we come back on the YouTube stream, B. Mitch in the tutu. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.